You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I just came across the most bizarre headline in the Kansas City Star. Every once in a while they'll throw out a question. And I think to myself, no one has ever wanted to know that ever. But I'm going to throw it out because the answer is so funny. Okay? This is the question. Ready? Is it legal to sleep at a rest stop? Here's what the law says. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what the law says. I don't want to be murdered. So no one has ever asked that question, but here's the answer.
If I'm tired, I'm sleeping.
Lock the door.
While it's not necessarily a crime to drive while sleepy, it can also be extremely dangerous. Driving while tired, they say, is no different from drunk driving, according to the National Sleep Foundation. If you are planning on a road trip ahead of like the fourth holiday, they recommend plotting out your rest stops or points of interest along your route. Drowsy driving, this is not funny, accounts for an estimated 1 in 5 fatal motor vehicle crashes on U.S. roads.
Considered,
yet rarely makes the news like drunk driving does.
I was going to say, considered almost more dangerous than drunk driving.
So believe it or not, it is not legal everywhere to pull over for a nap. Many states have different rules when it comes to sleeping at rest stops. In fact, in Virginia, they completely prohibit you from sleeping at a rest stop. In Illinois, they have a time limit for how long you can sleep in your car.
Mm-hmm.
In Kansas, if you're curious, you are allowed to sleep at rest areas maintained by the Kansas Department of Transportation. In Missouri, you are allowed to sleep at rest areas maintained by the Missouri Department of Transportation.
I've slept in many rest areas as I've driven and traveled around these great United States.
You just like recline the old driver's seat back and out you go?
And take a nap. Yeah. Or if it's really late and I've pulled over and pulled into a rest area and just slept for
that's
four
how you get murdered,
hours.
Dan, or kidnapped.
No, it's not.
I'll tell you this.
Lock the door.
I'll tell you this. Doesn't matter. Serial killers have hatchets, number one, and Sam, number two. If I had to pull over and sleep, and I mean dead serious, where would you do it? Because I'm telling you, it ain't a rest stop. No way in hell. I would be comfortable doing it. You know where?
Walmart.
In front of a... Oh, hell no. At night?
Yeah.
No!
A lot of people camp in Walmart parking lot.
Quick trip. I would feel comfortable in the front. Right in the front. That Quick
Taking
Trips,
up somebody's space.
No, but they're the most surveilled place ever, and you guys have the best surveillance cameras. Like, it is crystal clear.
I was going to say,
it's not going to stop a criminal.
In reality, I think your best bet probably is a rest stop right by the building because, again, it has security. I've heard of people that will like pull off onto a random exit and kind of drive down that side road for a while and just pull off and sleep.
No,
that is how you get murdered. You are much safer sleeping at a rest stop. It's not safe. It comes with its own risks, but so does driving. So, I mean,
Okay. Let's not say a rest stop or a Quick Trip, a truck stop. I would actually feel more safe outside of like a Flying J.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's truckers coming, there's truckers going. You're going to have
a lot of activity.
Good, like, eyes on you so that if someone does try to kill you, there are witnesses.
Despite the stereotype that people go missing from truck stops all the time, it's just not true. It's not like
they're actually.
I went over to the pilot and all of a sudden I was gone.
They are actually our number one defense, you guys, in one of the number one defenses in trafficking. Because truckers are there, and there's all these signs everywhere now that says if you see something, say something. There's a network of them, and I think that's a good thing. Anyway, I thought that was one of the more bizarre stories I've ever seen. And then this, you guys, from the federal government, we need to, because they're all stupid, we need to clarify something that we brought you in this very hour yesterday. Remember the crazed homicidal maniac that started shooting people on I-70 and 670 and then— There was a standoff, and then there was another standoff, and then there was a fire, and they can't find the guy. $25,000 reward from the FBI for information leading to that idiot. Anyway, yesterday on the show, it was announced by one Dana Wright, because I read a lot, that the federal government had said they thought they had him, and he was dead.
Or he could be dead or something.
Oh, I'm going to literally read what was said, and then I'm going to give you Kansas City's response from the police department, which has been sanitized, because I guarantee you that's not what they originally said when they heard about this. The attorney general literally said that we're still checking on whether or not he's alive. And then the host of the program said, but it sounds like maybe you think he's dead. And he replied, yes. This is the headline and the response from Kansas City. U.S. Attorney General's claim about Kansas City highway shooter blindsided police. Blindsided police. We do not have any information regarding that whatsoever. Quoting here from the police spokesperson in the case. The comments appear to represent an extraordinary disconnect between the nation's top law enforcement official and the police agencies investigating the string of high-profile shootings ahead of the World Cup. Federal agencies have provided no insight into how they received the information, why the comments were made on a national news program. And when you asked today, they all went, you need to talk to Kansas City, Missouri about that. We're not, any future updates need to come from KCPD. So if you heard on this program yesterday that it was being reported that he was dead, holed up in a house, they were still trying to figure out whether he was alive or dead. All of that is a gigantic pile of malarkey.
Yeah.
Kansas City says, we have no idea, none, where that information came from. There is still a $25,000 reward. Homicidal Nutloon is still on the loose.
That suspect believed to be Oscar Sanchez Munoz. You can find pictures of him all over any local media webpage. Of course, he was tied to five different shootings along I-70, 670, starting in KCK, going to Independence, injuring four, killing one, two standoffs where he either wasn't there or escaped, burned down a family member's house. There's now a GoFundMe for that family member who said, I didn't welcome him into my home. This guy, not a good guy, allegedly.
Wouldn't you call someone, you're in Washington, D.C., or whatever it is the heck they do there, I don't even know. Wouldn't you pick up the phone and say, I'm about to go on national television and say that this fugitive is dead? Do we have him? Like, there is just a gigantic, no one knows where they got that information, and it sure as hell was not from Kansas City. Anyway. Back with
could
more
it have
for this.
Been a situation where they were like, I don't know, he might be dead, and they took that too far and ran with it? I don't know.
Sam, I don't know.
That's dumb.
I know you don't go on national news saying that a fugitive is, you know, with the FBI involved in the reward. And yeah, anyway, yeah. Still on the loose. 913-586-7798. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the guy that went to prison, got his haircut, and then sued. What? It's a lawsuit. It's a real thing. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more after this.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.